Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So I have a little bit of a painting here for you today that shows Jesus glorified, sort of wrapped in a cloud a little bit, with his followers' eyes looking expectantly up. And you assume you know what it's a picture of. But look again. Think again. Is Jesus coming or going? The two men in white say, "This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come the same way as you saw him go." So is a picture of him coming or going? I know. This half of the congregation says coming, this half says going. And you might say, "Pastor, you know, you got the whole order of the service goofed up this Sunday with the gospel reading first and all that. Are you coming or going, Pastor? What's the plan here?" Sometimes I think we're too quick to size things up and think we know what the plan is. Sometimes I think we say, "I see Jesus going away, and he was gone before my time, way before I was even born." Those blessed disciples, they got to see him. They got to eat with Jesus. They got to walk with Jesus and talk with Jesus. And boy, I would have a lot of questions I have for Jesus. Lucky them. Poor me. I'm left here all alone. He abandoned me. Sometimes our hearts tremble because we see Christ going. Faith sees him here. "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord, that I may see you." See him here. Coming. Coming to you with power. So think about it. Everything's going according to plan. So why are we so afraid? We worry about other people's plans. We think if we're in control, of everything, well, at least we can be trusted to do what we think is best for ourselves. But what if we're out of our league? If you go to the doctor's office, you're out of your league. And unless you're a doctor, I guess, or a nurse. But he talks to you about stuff you don't really totally understand. Or you go to a lawyer's office, it's even worse. He's going to say, throw out all these Latin terms to impress you. And it's like, I guess I'm a little bit out of my league here. If you've ever had your kitchen redone and talked to a contractor, if you're like me, you're way out of your league. So who doesn't worry? Well, let's talk about God's plan of salvation, shall we? It's certainly beyond us. But it is not beyond God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. As we heard in the gospel text from Luke, Jesus outlines the whole plan of salvation. He says, it was for the Christ to come that he would suffer and he would die and on the third day rise again, according to the scriptures. All that stuff of the law, the prophets, and the Psalms, which we read, is all about me, he says. And now I'm going to the Father. And elsewhere he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. So is he going and leaving us here, abandoning us? Is that part of the plan? Brothers and sisters in Christ, I invite you to think of the ascension. And this is a picture of the ascension, by the way. I invite you to think of the ascension not as Jesus retreating from the world, not as Jesus abandoning the world, abandoning us in the world. Quite the opposite. Jesus' ascension is part of the advance of the gospel. It's part of the advance of his plan. It's part of the plan of salvation. Salvation for you and me, and salvation for this earth that we live on. And you might say, well, I don't get it, Pastor. Well, he lays it out for you. He says, you're part of the plan. He says, you. First he says to these 11 guys here, you guys who are witnesses of all that I've said and done, you are witnesses, eyewitnesses, go and spread the word. Starting in Jerusalem, but not yet. Wait. Wait until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And we're going to celebrate that next Sunday on Pentecost. And then go. Go and proclaim what? Repentance and the forgiveness of sins to all nations, starting in Jerusalem. And you say, oh, that sounds a pretty daunting task. How about you? In your life, the people that you love, it seems like a daunting task to preach repentance and the forgiveness of sins to them who don't think they need it, maybe. But Jesus doesn't leave you alone. He says, no, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. And at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, just before he ascends, what does he say? He says, I will be with you to the end of the age. Yeah, go preach to all nations, baptize and teach in my name. But I will be with you to the end of the age. Now, how can he be with us if he's ascended into heaven? This is how the ascension is a bridge. It's not just a bridge between Luke, the Gospel of Luke, and his second book of Acts. It's not just a bridge between the Old Testament and the New Testament, or the Gospels and the rest of the New Testament. It's a bridge between heaven and earth. Because who is Jesus? He is the Christ. He is the incarnate God. God joins himself to his creation through mankind, in the person of Jesus. So Jesus is the connection. And his ascension is like the connection between heaven and earth. And you are the body of Christ. He is the head, you are the body. All believers in Christ are the body. All of us. And the body does the work here on earth. Jesus says, if you believe in me, I will abide in you, and you will abide in me. The Father will abide in you, by the way. You're not here alone. And he sends the Holy Spirit, which we're going to talk about more next Sunday, to help you, to give you grace and peace, to assure you of the salvation that you have in Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit points to Christ at all times. And he says, this is who you are now. You are redeemed human beings. Not abandoned by any means. You are empowered. You are empowered by the Holy Spirit to do those things. Like, love God and love your neighbor. Like, talk to people about who Jesus is. To talk to people about repentance and forgiveness and what comes with forgiveness, which is life. And if people talk to you as if you're a person who says, oh, you're just one of those Christians who walks around with his head in the clouds. You say, yes, my head is Jesus, and he is in heaven. That's my head. I'm just the body here. That's what you get to see. Do you see the connection? And it's all through Jesus. And do you see the connection of what he does? He leads. He leads. He says, you are my disciples. You are my followers. And he does everything first. He suffers. Brothers and sisters in Christ, do you suffer? Yes. And he suffers with you. And he suffers, and he helps you endure through that suffering. He goes to the cross. Do you have to go to the cross? No, thank goodness. He did that for you. You go to the cross in your baptism. If we are baptized into a death like Christ's, we are certainly raised. So you will be raised too. So suffering, death, resurrection, which is in your future, ascension, you will ascend too. And then what happens last? In the creed, he will come again to earth to judge the living and the dead. The new earth, everlasting life, back here on earth in our resurrected bodies. He's showing you your future. Jesus does that. And now we live in the last age, the age before his return, where he is seated at the right hand of the body, and guess what? That means you're with him there. Because he takes that power from the right hand of the Father, and he says, all power is now given to me, and I'm giving it to you. And where do you see that power? You see that power in things that no one else on earth can do, which is given to the church, which is given to you, the forgiveness of sins. Only the church can do that. That's the authority that Christ gives the church. The forgiveness of sins. The release from sin. The release from the power of sin. And what comes with the forgiveness of sins? Everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. So it's also the connection to our resurrection and our eternal life. All through Jesus. All through what he does and what he teaches, what he shows us, and what he gives us. And then we look at a picture like this and we say, Pastor, it still looks to me like he's going away. Well, he says, all authority is on heaven and earth is given to me. And what comes with that authority and that power? The power to be present in you as he abides in you in faith. That power to be present wherever he says he is. The power for the Holy Spirit to be present with the water in the promise of the word and the forgiveness of sins and the promise of everlasting life and baptism. And the power to be present in simple things like bread and wine. Why? For the forgiveness of your sins. Because what comes with that? Forgiveness and everlasting life. All through Jesus our Lord. In his name, amen.